This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome to Thoughts on the Table, the audio blog on food and food culture. Paolo here again for another episode. Hello, everybody. So today I'm here with Nick Zingale, who contacted me through Facebook. And Nick had a great question for me. I love when this happens, that people can find me. And sometimes they think, oh, can I ask a question, see if Paolo knows. So, Nick, welcome to the show, first off. How are you?
I am well, Paolo. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much. So, Nick, you had this question. Do you want to repeat it for us?
Yes. So, my question related to I spent a number of months in Italy this year, and part of that time I spent with a family. And another part of the time I was traveling around on my own. And so obviously with the family, it was always multi-course meals, primo, secondo, sometimes additional courses on top of that. And I got used to that as being the ideal for how an Italian meal should be. Mm-hmm. And it's almost incomplete without the balance of sort of the carb based course and then the protein based course as I think
right.
of it.
Yeah.
But then I went out traveling on my own and started to go to restaurants, which I hadn't done much of while I was with the family, and realized that it's very difficult to eat like that in restaurants, because basically when you do order one of the two courses, they give you a portion that's going to be larger than I think most Italian home cooking would be.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. So it makes it very difficult to eat like that. Even if you want to go in and order primo, secondo, antipasto, when you get it, even after the antipasto, you might be full. So
it's true.
I saw a lot of tourists traveling to Italy and talked to a lot of people, Americans and, you know, other mostly English speaking countries. And they don't even know that Italians always eat in courses. So I felt that they weren't getting the full experience or the true experience. But I was wondering what actual Italian people do in restaurants because of the expense and because of the large portion size. That was my question for you. What do average Italians do about this when they go out to eat?
Right. And when you asked me this, I thought of it and I thought, yeah, you're right. In fact, I myself do that. Sometimes I go to restaurants and for a reason or another, because, you know, maybe I don't want to eat too much or because I don't want to spend too much, I only get a course or two, like you said. And I noticed other people do that. It's maybe a bit of a modern trend. I thought maybe people do that now more than they used to. They start breaking the rule of, you know, the courses, the progression, because we maybe lost a little bit that tradition. And I was a little bit getting worried about it. I thought about it a little bit more and I said, wait a minute. I do that too, but I do that when I'm on vacation and I'm eating in restaurants every day. When I don't have a kitchen, I'm not staying in a residence, I'm staying in a hotel and I'm eating out every day, then I cannot take it anymore. And, you know, that's why I start to pick and choose. You know, for lunch, I probably go get a slice of pizza, and that's fine. But then when I for dinner, I generally like to go to restaurants. I like trying restaurants. It's great. When I travel, half of the reason why I travel is to try food. But I cannot afford to eat, three courses in a restaurant every time. So I start to do exactly the same thing. And I realize maybe we're not giving the right message as well to people when we do that, because we're confusing. But I do that because I'm doing that every day. Instead, when we go, Italians go out for dinner in a restaurant, and they do it rarely, probably Italians in average eat out less than North Americans, I would argue. And when they do eat out, they like to have a full meal and really make it a feast and enjoy every bit of it. And then, you know, when you go every day, of course, that becomes a problem. So that's probably what's going on, I think. I can
corroborate after you said that. The one time that I did go out to dinner with my host family, because like you said, they very rarely go out to eat. We did go all out. We did go and every course and
yeah.
It was a feast, and that was the only time I ever dined out with them. So yeah, when you're traveling and you're eating at a restaurant every meal, it makes it a little bit less feasible to do that.
Less feasible, yes. But you did mention that there is a type of restaurant where you can actually have the three courses and it's not going to kill you. You can do that every day. So those are, you said very correctly, trattorie or little restaurants that do the fixed price menu, especially for lunch. And you're right. Those are great opportunities for you to have a full meal, but still a reasonable portion. You know, and sometimes another option is the auto grill or the buffet style. You know, when you serve yourself.
I never ate at auto grill, but I did read your post on it actually, so I was a little bit intrigued.
Yeah, they're great. It's basically self-service, we call it, self-service. Mm-hmm. And you go around with your tray, you know, like in a cafeteria, and you you pick up food that you want to eat. And you can have a full meal, you know, from appetizer to dessert on a tray. And that's going to be another good option, a good way to do it. I always recommend people who are traveling by car in Italy to do stop at the auto grill. It's a great experience. Or on the trattoria, if you find, if you ask around somebody who's working in the area, like if you go to a store and you ask, you know, the clerk, where do they like to eat at lunch? Maybe they have a fixed price restaurant in the area. And that's another great thing you can try. And it's fantastic. It's really good. It's not your glamorous experience. You know, you probably have to choose between two first courses or between two second courses. But it's fabulous. Yes, definitely good. All right, so I think we got that out of the way. What do you think?
Yeah. I think the fixed price thing is definitely the best option that I found. Sharing courses is also one.
Right.
But yeah, I think the fixed price thing is going to give you portions that are more comparable to what you'd actually eat in an Italian home.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So I would definitely recommend people to do that.
Absolutely. So yes, moving on, you know, this question was great and I started to talk with Nick on Facebook and then I asked, Nick, do you have a blog? And Nick said, well, I do have my travel blog. So I went there and yeah, I found that he's super interesting. A lot of insights, a lot of very good observations. So I said, wow, this is fantastic. And I asked him if he wanted to be on the podcast and he immediately said yes. So great.
I'm really
happy. So then we went on to talk a little bit more and found out that Nick, of course, from his last name is of Italian descent. But I asked Nick to tell me a little bit more about his history. So Nick, do you want to tell the listeners as well a little bit where your family comes from?
Yeah, so I grew up Italian-American in Cleveland, but I'm not a child of the more recent waves of immigration. My ancestors all came over to the United States and probably before the First World War for the most part, like 1900 to 1910. But, you know, they lived in an area of Cleveland that just had a lot of people that were from the same parts of Italy, which were... My mother's family was all originated in the province of Campobasso, and my father's originated in the province of Messina in Sicily. And so it was a very tight-knit community here for multiple generations. I mean, so my grandparents, their parents were born in Italy, so my great-grandparents. But they grew up in these neighborhoods where they still strongly identified that way, and their children did. And, you know, many people, for the most part, marry Americans of other ethnicities. Mm-hmm. But just for whatever reason, mostly by chance, my parents are both of Italian descent. So I'm totally of Italian descent. So I think that always made the identity stronger in me. I was always curious about it and interested in it from a very young age. And, you know, I went to high school with a lot of people that were kind of the same way. So even though it's 100 years removed, still identified
there.
With it strongly. Yeah.
Yeah. And, also, may I say, you look very Italian.
Yeah. You know, it's great when I go to Italy because it's a lot of fun because nobody thinks that I'm a tourist, especially I did a lot of solo traveling. So, you know, I don't look like that. so people ask me for directions regularly. Yep. It's a lot of fun.
It can be a challenge, right?
I think I talked to two guys on a train near Naples for like 5 minutes before they realized that I wasn't just shy. I was saying very little because I could only understand half of what they were saying. And
but you have a great accent. We were talking in Italian earlier, almost indistinguishable from an Italian native. So that's great.
That's very good to hear. Yeah, I don't know why that part always came so easy to me, except for the G's, which we discussed. But,
from the last name.
But yeah, I can do the pronunciation thing well. So that
you can.
Yeah, I mean, when I go around Italy, if I go to shops and things and I start talking to the people working there, they don't realize that I'm not a native Italian, and they'll start talking back to me too fast before I have to say. So eventually I learned to introduce myself with "Scusa il mio italiano." And then that way they knew that I was learning. Sto imparando. I'm learning.
Yeah, and you're saying it purposely slower than you would be able to say it. Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, that I found was the best way for me to go around and be able to go and talk to people, and but still let them know, sort of signal ahead of time that I'm not a native Italian speaker.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But back to what we were saying. Yeah, so I grew up that way. And, you know, if you want, I could talk about the subject of food.
Yes, always.
And the food I ate growing up. So the thing that I find very interesting about it, obviously your entire blog is about the difference between Italian food and Italian-American food.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of funny that the observation that I have about it is that my family, it's very, all the stereotypical Italian-American dishes is what we ate. I mean, we ate... you know, always with the meatball in the pasta.
Right.
But it kind of annoys me when that's done poorly, just as it annoys you when you come to Canada and see Italian food done poorly. So
yeah,
I was sort of already operating on this level that you operate on, and my family operate on the same level of like the difference between authentic Italian American restaurants and poorly done or corporate type of places. I mean, I can tell exactly if I go to any kind of city on the East Coast or around here or anything. Like, you can walk into a place and you can tell, oh, this is a place that's been around for 50 years and it's family owned. And so, you know, I kind of had that same mentality before I even ever went to Italy.
Yeah, well, you know, Nick, sorry to interrupt. Initially, you know, I started my blog because I found that people were mixing up Italian-American cuisine with Italian cuisine, which was the thing that, you know, was upsetting me. But mostly because, you know, then people go to Italy and get confused. I heard people that say that Italian pizza in Italy is not good because there's not enough on it. And that was, you know, really upsetting. But then I realized that, wait a minute, Italian-American food has been around for longer than most Italian dishes that I know, strangely enough.
That's very interesting.
And then I realized, you know, that there's good Italian-American food, and it's very traditional, and it's its own cuisine. It deserves all respect. And in fact, the only thing that I say to add to this is that I wish it was called like that. It's probably obvious when you're in America that what you're eating is Italian-American, but it's not obvious anymore, I don't think, because of globalization, people traveling, and, you know, actual Italian, continental Italian restaurants that you can now find in North America quite easily in many cities. I think it's no longer obvious. It would be great to actually call it Italian American and just call it like that.
Yeah.
Italian American restaurant.
Well, I think it sort of has to do with, you know, I mean, I grew up calling myself Italian.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why.
It's kind of the same thing that probably bugs you in the same way.
A little bit.
And I totally understand that, especially now having spent all this time in Europe. But, you know, it just comes from the fact that when they got here, they lived in these segregated neighborhoods, and their parents called themselves Italian, and they called themselves Italian. And so that just kind of never went away.
Right.
And that's kind of the way, the reason for it, I think. But it does get to the point where here in 2016 or 2017 now, well, if I'm Italian, then what are you? You know,
yeah,
I grew up there and I didn't. So now I'm a little bit more aware of that. So now I generally refer to myself as Italian descent or Italian American. But, you know, I mean, I have relatives, especially that, you know, I'm Italian.
Interesting.
They know. They're not trying to...
These guys or mislead.
Yeah.
They really feel Italian. Yeah. They're honestly Italian. And they don't know maybe Italian continental the way it's gotten to. Because maybe what they remember is a snapshot from 100 years ago. But, they, you know, Italy, meanwhile, has evolved.
Yeah, and that's a definite part of it, too. You know, our image of Italy is definitely based upon a very small part of Italy, which would be 100 years ago in the south of Italy.
Right.
Like, that's sort of the American image of Italy. And it's also the American image of Italian food. So, yeah, that's kind of where that comes from. And
Very interesting. Like, you know, this is another thing that it never really occurred to me. That's why you're so great.
I love it.
Fantastic. Oh, now you touched on the fact that you lived in Italy for a while, right? Let's talk about that. So you at some point decided to go find your roots, maybe, or to just explore this Italy that you've always heard about. And you quit your job or you took a leave of absence and went to Italy, right?
Yeah, so what happened was, and I didn't mention this to you yet, but I mean, from the time I was back in high school, in university, always just wanted to do this great trip around the world. And especially Italy. You know, I studied Italian in high school and in college. I actually also took in college like an Italian sort of culture class. It was like a little bit art, a little bit literature,
nice,
you know, history, kind of all wrapped into one. So always had that interest. I knew I wanted to do something abroad and teaching English, gosh, way back to like 2011. But I had this pesky student debt, as many people do in these times. So but it was something that was in the back of my mind the whole time. And then I read online one time, I was researching it. Well, you know, people of Italian descent in certain cases can claim citizenship, which I don't know if you know about that whole thing. It's actually a little bit controversial, so I don't know if it's ever going to upset people that do it. But what it ended up involving was, I said, well, you know, that would be an incredible thing to have, not only for Italy.
Yeah.
I could go live and work anywhere in the EU.
That's great, yes.
So I started getting into genealogy because basically you've got to prove it. So I did all kinds of ancestral research. I mean, it probably took me, it was just kind of something I did from time to time. It took me a couple of years from start to finish. But what it ended up, you know, through the whole process, I learned a ton about my family history. You know, going so far back, we didn't know the exact villages ancestor was from, you know, so I learned all about that stuff. I learned a lot. I just became interested in a lot of the sort of backstory of it all and
interesting
conditions in southern Italy at that time that led for this mass emigration all over the world. You know, you'll learn about the north-south divide and just kind of how that's still going on since the unification. So I learned a lot about that. I learned what towns my family originated from.
Because you didn't know that before.
We kind of knew, but we didn't know exactly.
Okay.
Like, we knew the region, area. So I learned all of that, and it ended up with me having an Italian passport.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
You got it.
I've got that.
Congrats.
Thank you. So I looked at those towns on the map, and just having spent so many years researching them, you know, writing a letter to this tiny little paese in Sicily. I need my great grandfather's birth certificate. I'm like, I'm going to visit these places.
Nice. Yes.
Like, I want to visit all these places.
Makes sense. Totally.
So that sort of became the kind of guiding thing behind it all, was I want to go see where my great, great grandparents were from. I just thought that would be a very cool thing to do. And I also wanted to, always had wanted to do that teaching English thing. So I sort of found a way to combine it all. So I went, I found an exchange program. I went and lived with a family outside of Turin for 3 months.
I see. Interesting. I keep talking about Piedmont in turn for some reason on my podcast ever since I went there for a food conference. So it keeps on coming up, and I'm so glad it does, because again, it's one of those cities and areas of Italy, they're quite unknown, even to Italians, strangely enough. So fantastic. I want to hear about it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I enjoy it. It's definitely not very, when I tell people about it here, I always go back to the Winter Olympics.
Right.
I say, oh yeah, 10 years ago, the Winter Olympics are there. And they say, oh yeah, I remember that.
Torino.
Yeah. But it's definitely, you know, the big thing that people want to visit when they come from here, there's the big three, which are Venice, Florence, Rome.
Yeah.
And then there's like a 3A, which is the Amalfi Coast, and maybe Naples if you have an afternoon to go get some pizza. So yeah, not too many good people go to Turin. But yeah, it's a great place. It's a great region. It's really one of the, you know, economic powerhouses of Italy, which I think people here especially don't know. With Fiat especially, and just the manufacturing, and tons of emigrants or descendants of emigrants from the south
end up working there.
You know, I learned a little bit about the typical foods and even
and the wine. the most prestigious Italian wine is from Piedmont.
Truffles.
Yes, Alba.
That's more of a specialty item, but chocolates. Bagna calda.
It's just a strange meal.
And their dialect, Piedmontese, there's a phrase that they use to sort of like demonstrate the, so like if you're, if you want to make fun of a Boston accent here, you'd say pak the ka in ha vidyad. It's just kind of like what everybody says to make fun of the Boston accent. And in Piedmont, they say, and I'm going to completely butcher it, but
go ahead.
They're talking about two peppers in bagna cauda. And it's like, due peru in bagna chiedi, or something like that. And they would say this to me all the time. And so now I know my, my one phrase in Piedmontese.
Awesome.
But no, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just beautiful to go to Torino and the snow-capped white. I was there in the winter, and the city's really kind of down to earth. And I think it benefits from not being on that huge international kind of scene.
But Nick, tell me about your teaching. That must have been a fantastic experience. So you can, you know, live in the town and then daily interact with locals, with students, which are brilliant types of locals. They're very curious. They have a lot of questions. They must have been, you know, hard and at the same time very interesting. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm not a teacher by trade. This program was open to really anyone with a bachelor's degree. So I'd never been in front of a classroom before. Yeah, every day. So I lived with a family, and the oldest kid in the family also attended the school where I was working.
Oh, great.
So I'd get on the train with him in the morning and go to school with him. And I probably had three or four classes a day, high school age. And I taught them about American culture. So I wasn't teaching grammar or anything like that. They had their own teacher. Like, I was more of a teaching assistant. So I taught, you know, so that made it fun for me and fun for them, because I was kind of the more lighter side of their educational experience.
They were very lucky to have you. I'm sure they appreciated also somebody about their age, pretty much, because you're really So any stories, any anecdotes, what kind of stuff did they ask you?
Well, I taught them about slang. They really liked my lesson on slang, because the Italian schools are so formal. Especially the way they teach English. So like, they don't know how to, they don't know what what's up is. Like, they text all day on WhatsApp, but they don't really know the wordplay that went into naming that app. So I kind of, just very simple things like that. You know, proverbs. I did a lesson on accents, and I had to brush up on my accents all over the North American continent.
Beautiful.
It was pretty stereotypical. I did do the Canadian
I want to hear that.
Canada. I'm from Canada.
Yes.
New Yorkers say coffee instead of coffee. Coffee. With like an A. I thought we would go and get some coffee. Boston, I use the Harvard Yard thing, obviously, but they really love to ask me about what their life would be if they were American. They wanted to know about American school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I imagine Canadian school is pretty similar to American school.
From what I know, yes. I
imagine it goes back to British traditions. Mm-hmm. But as you know, in Italy, the kids sit in the classroom all day, every day with the same kids for 5 years.
Usually, yes. Yeah.
So they're fascinated with like kids walking around the school, going to different classrooms. Mm-hmm. They're fascinated with lockers because they watch Hollywood movies about American high schools. And they love to ask about that stuff. And in my school, they asked, the girls especially, asked a lot about prom. They want to have a prom. So I had to leave before they had the chance, but I was kind of trying to egg them on to have a prom. Because, you know, and that was another thing that I talked about with them, is just kind of how here the school is like the community, and the community is the school, whereas there... school is just kind of where you go for 6 hours a day, and then the community is elsewhere. Yeah,
you go home.
School sports, cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Really, they want to know a lot about stuff they see in movies, frankly, about American high school.
Italians are fascinated with that. Absolutely, I was too. Yeah, I still am. But we, because of the movies, I think, and because we see it as such a hip culture. Especially when you're young, I think you really crave that kind of maybe freedom that we think you guys have, independence. Yeah, these are things for sure. Did they ask you about food?
They did, and that became one of my more, and I don't know if I ever wrote about this in my blog, but that became one of the more frustrating things for me. I would get annoyed because I did write about it, because I would be asked about fast food so much, you know, coffee. Mm-hmm. Nick, I heard American coffee tastes like dirty water. Which, you know, I mean, having Italian coffee for 5 months and now being back here, I kind of agree. And I had to go and get myself a Bialetti. But,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to call the American coffee homeopathic coffee. There's maybe a molecule of coffee in there somewhere, but the chances are you're not going to find it.
But yeah, just, you know, that sort of, I mean, I'm gonna say snobbiness. It's a little bit snobby.
No, it's true. It is.
You know, do you have Chipotle out there in Vancouver?
Yes.
It's kind of my favorite fast casual chain here.
Well, it's not maybe there is the chain now. It just arrived, I think, in Vancouver. Yes. Mexican inspired.
Yeah.
Chain. Yes.
It's Mexican in the same way that spaghetti and meatballs is Italian. But, you know, they use very good ingredients. And that sort of is the quality that people are demanding here is changing. It is getting better. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically throw a bunch of stuff in a bowl or a burrito, but it all matches very well with itself.
But Italians, what do they think?
So one of the girls in my class, and it's just one of those memories that, like, you'll never forget. So I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Chipotle, like, this is a good one. Oh, I tried that when I was in California with my family. I didn't like. She kind of said it, like, really, and I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, they're just a little bit snobby about the food. Mm-hmm. You know, I get asked about pasta with ketchup, which is just as horrifying to me as it is to them.
Okay,
but I could never get that through. And you know, I've never actually known anyone to do that. I don't know if you've ever, anybody's doing that in Canada.
I think in my imaginary, from Italy, that was more of a German thing to do. Which now,
I've heard they do it there.
Piss off all the Germans that are listening. Maybe they do that sometimes. I never really associated that to Americans. In fact, I have to say, we loved McDonald's when it arrived. I was a teenager back then. People welcomed it. Again, because we're fascinated with, at least kids are fascinated with America and from the movies and stuff. And we thought that these burgers, which Italians don't really have burgers. Mm-hmm. My wife was Canadian, found it strange that you cannot get a burger in a good restaurant. You can't. But instead, you know, the burger that you get at McDonald's is designed to taste really good. You know, obviously, my dad would never dare to even touch it because sweet bread, soft bread, it's not Italian.
Yeah.
Schifo, like you schifo. Told me. But kids actually like that. So maybe the kids in your small town near Turin were more conservative than mm-hmm. I was around their age in Milan, maybe. That's
it could
possible.
Be that there's more of a backlash today.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's viewed as like a cultural threat, which it is.
You're right,
But the thing is, I know they all go eat it when they're not talking to me. I know. But what I wanted to say was that sort of snobbiness, I find it charming.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it reflects is how highly valued food is in Italy.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's where it comes from. It's in no way supposed to be, well, we're better than you. That's mm-hmm. that's not where what it comes from at all.
Right.
So I just feel like it's, you've got to have that to be able to eat all the wonderful things you can eat in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason I found it charming is because it sort of echoes attitudes that my family has.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of have this theory that that attitude has been passed down through the generations. And if
so,
you watch...
Sorry, you're saying that your family was equally snob or
way? Outside American food.
Interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when they were doing that to me, when I was sort of getting that attitude, it's like, oh my gosh, I've seen this before. That's the exact way my family acts.
Yeah.
Because like the way it was for my family is people that go buy jarred pasta sauces at the supermarket instead of making it themselves. It's oh my God, that's disgusting.
They're
like, how could they eat like that?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, now I'm on the other side of it. I get to get a taste of my own medicine. but it's the same thing. I mean, I recognized it instantly. So that's kind of why I enjoyed it. And actually, if you watch, there's a public television in the United States made a four-hour-long series about Italian Americans.
Oh, really?
And there's a whole thing on there about what they thought about the food when they first arrived.
Interesting.
And how just completely unacceptable that these Southern Italians,
mm-hmm.
100 years ago, or more than 100 years ago, felt about the food in the United States.
Interesting.
And so that's a big part of Italian American
I'll ask you for the link if there's a reference.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it's only you can buy the DVD on Amazon. But
that's great.
We can link it.
Yeah, we can link it. Great. Nick, we're out of time. We've been talking for quite some time. we have to do it again. Is that okay?
Yes.
We can connect some more time. I wanted to go over so many things. We only touched on the first page of stuff that we had to talk about. I'm sure it'd be fantastic. Awesome. Great. Fantastic. So, Nick, it's been a great pleasure. Super interesting. Again, I'll be in touch shortly to organize for another one. Have a fantastic day.
Ciao, Paolo.
Ciao. Ciao. Un abbraccio.
Un abbraccio.